Chapter 2. Sean opened his eyes the next morning to find the sun burning in through the window above his bed. He closed them again hurriedly and tried to remember where he was. There was a pain in his head that distracted him, and a noise. The noise was a regular croaking rattle. It sounded as though someone was dying. Sean opened his eyes and turned his head slowly. Someone was in the bed across the room. Sean groped for a boot and threw it. There was a snort, and Duff's head came up. For a second he regarded Sean through eyes as red as a winter sunset, and then he subsided gently back into the blankets. "Keep it down to a bellow," whispered Sean. "You're in the presence of grave illness." A long time later, a servant brought coffee. "Send word to my office that I'm sick," commanded Duff. "I have done so." The servant clearly understood his master. He went on, "There is one outside who seeks the other in Kosi." He glanced at Sean. "He is greatly worried." "Embijani, tell him to wait," said Sean. They drank coffee in silence, sitting on the edge of their beds. "How did I get here?" asked Sean.
"Laddie, if you don't know, then nobody does."
Duff stood up and crossed the room to find fresh clothing. He was naked, and Sean saw that though he was slim as a boy, his body was finely muscled.
"My God, what does Charlie put in his liquor?" complained Duff as he picked up his jacket.
He found the lump of rock in the pocket, brought it out and tossed it onto the packing case that served as a table. He regarded it sourly as he finished dressing. Then he went to the great pile of bachelor debris that filled one corner of the room. He scratched around and came out with a steel pestle and mortar and a battered black gold pan. "I feel very old this morning," he said, as he started to crush the rock to powder in the mortar. He poured the powder into the pan, carried it out to the corrugated iron water tank beside the front door, and filled the pan from the tap. Sean followed him, and they sat together on the front step. Duff worked the pan, using a practiced dip and swing that set the contents spinning like a whirlpool, and slopped a little over the front lip with each turn. He filled it again with clean water. Suddenly Sean felt Duff stiffen beside him. He glanced at his face and saw that his hangover had gone. His lips were shut in a thin line, and his bloodshot eyes were fastened on the pan. Sean looked down and saw the gleam through the water, like the flash of a trout's belly as it turns to take the fly. He felt the excitement prickle up his arms and lift the hair on his neck. Quickly Duff splashed fresh water into the pan. Three more turns and he flicked it out again. They sat still, not speaking, staring at the golden tail curved round the bottom of the pan. "How much money have you got?" Duff asked without looking up.
"A little over 1,000.
"As much as that? Excellent.
I can raise about 500, but I'll throw in my mining experience."
"Equal partners, do you agree?"
"Yes."
"Then why are we sitting here? I'm going down to the bank. Meet me on the edge of town in 30 minutes.
"What about your job?"
Sean asked.
"I hate the smell of coal. The hell with my job."
"What about Charlie?"
"Charlie is a poisoner. The hell with Charlie."